Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato samma sambuddhassa. Buddhang dhammang sanghang namassami. This is a reading from the Anguttara Nikaya, Book of Ones, Sutta 78. Insignificant, bhikkhus, is the loss of wealth. The worst thing to lose is wisdom. Insignificant, bhikkhus, is the increase of wealth. The best thing in which to increase is wisdom. Therefore, bhikkhus, you should train yourselves thus. We will increase in wisdom. It is in such a way that you should train yourselves. Insignificant, bhikkhus, is the loss of fame. The worst thing to lose is wisdom. And insignificant, bhikkhus, is the increase of fame. The best thing in which to increase is wisdom. Therefore, bhikkhus, you should train yourselves thus. We will increase in wisdom. It is in such a way that you should train yourselves. Okay, so let me return back to the start here. Insignificant bhikkhus is the loss of wealth. The worst thing to lose is wisdom. So if we had absolutely no wealth at all, we had no money at all, surely that has to be bad, right? We have to have some money, right? We have to have food. We have to have somewhere to live and clothing and, you know. So surely we need to have enough of those things at least. So in monastic culture, we have this list called the four requisites: food, clothing, shelter, and medicine. And this is a teaching often taught to monks, to be content with having just those things. So long as you have food, clothing, shelter, and medicine, that should be enough to be a monk or a nun. That should be enough. It can be hard sometimes to let go of desires for things beyond just those four things. You know what I mean? Sometimes we think we need more than that. As long as it supports our basic health, that is enough in Buddhism to live a holy life. And when monks and nuns provide an example like this through the way they live, it kind of shows off these values to anybody interested in Buddhism. It kind of shows, you know, it is possible to be happy with just these things. And it is trying to show a, you might say, trying to show what it looks like to not be greedy. There's a lot of greedy people in the world, and it makes a lot of trouble. So we try to show an example of what would a lifestyle look like, you know, if we were to turn down that greed dial several notches, just to the basics that we need to be happy. Okay. So then once we have got that enough all taken care of, then now can we use that for wisdom? Now, for lay people, of course, we encourage you to meditate as well as you can. But of course, living a lay person's life where you have families and jobs and houses to take care of and all this stuff, cars to take care of, Oftentimes, there's not as much time to meditate. That's understandable. You got kids, you got in-laws and grandparents and all this stuff. But I would invite you to think over, you know, the whole point of earning money is, shouldn't it make us happy, you know? Sometimes it's easy to get stuck on just trying to collect money for the sake of just having it, just for money itself, just having lots. And it's a way of showing off wealth, you know. But how much happiness are we getting? That's really the point of it, I say. It's what we use the money for. How happy does it make us? One of the interesting things about Chinese culture that I learned is when you go into different stores and they got this little cat by the cash register and he's kind of making his paw go like this, his paw goes up and down. That's a symbol of like, bring me money, bring me money. The cat's trying to claw the money towards the towards the cash register. It's like a symbol of luck to get money. I think it would be cool if maybe we should have... Now, in the culture I come from, we use the bird called an owl. Do you know what an owl is? You know, the bird with the big, huge eyes? So the owl is kind of a symbol of wisdom. It's thought to be a wise bird. So maybe at the Buddhist monastery, we could have a big owl, and the owl's trying to claw the wisdom in, you know? We're trying to gain wisdom here. We have a big owl doing the same thing. Have a big kind of robot owl, you know, just right by the gate. So yeah, there's this, have you ever heard of the term bohemian? Bohemian. This is like a French idea. Sometimes the French have some really cool ideas. This is one of them, I say. And now, bohemian oftentimes is used to describe like almost a style, like maybe a style of clothing or maybe a style of behavior. It sort of means like hip. Generally, it means kind of like to be a hip person, a cool person. Urban, cultured person. This word gets kind of used, you know, in Canada or the U.S. to kind of mean that. But when you look at its original meaning, you kind of look at it in its context from French culture. It's quite an old word. It's not an ancient word, but, you know, this would be maybe like the 1900s, 1800s kind of thing. I'm no expert on this history, but what its original meaning meant was like the French are really into art and really into culture. And to live a bohemian lifestyle meant just trying to... have just some small job, which was enough to make money, just to pay the rent, just to buy the food. And once you had that enough taken care of, then they tried to sort of, you might say, optimize their life around whatever their art was. Okay, let's say they enjoyed painting. You know, maybe they just have a part-time job, but then they paint, you know, they use most of their free time for painting. Or maybe they're into sculpture, or they're into music or something. They have an instrument. And that's what they're really living for. Like they believe in their art so strongly that they're kind of optimizing their life for that. And And there were lots of these bohemian people. There was like a whole area in Paris where they all tended to live, and there was a lot of culture there. There was a lot of, and it was about like kind of living a happy life. It was about doing what you like, doing what you're good at, doing what you're talented at, and just, you know, kind of like enjoying life. And now maybe they went and enjoyed their life a little too much. You know, maybe they partied a little too much, and Buddhism be like, oh, we can't really praise that. You know, if you get too sensuous, that's too much partying is not good, right? I have to admit that there is something praiseworthy there about, like, they have a sense of what enough is, you know. They just work hard enough to get their rent and their money and their, you know. And they're not living for money. They're not living for to get rich or whatever. You know, they just want to enjoy their lives pretty much, and kind of pursue what makes them happy. So that's an interesting kind of I don't know, kind of like a thought exercise, you might say. That you know, I think we live in a world where, you know, kind of the default is, at least for lay people, is, you know, it's about money, it's about fame, you know. It's not about living a quiet little life where you just paint, and, you know, maybe you're not even a famous artist, you just paint because you enjoy painting, and, you know, your paintings are never going to sell for $1 million, but you still do it anyway. yeah. So returning back to the suttas here, so the Buddha also says, insignificant bhikkhus is the loss of fame. The worst thing to lose is wisdom. So that's also an interesting kind of thought exercise. It's like, how can I put it? We live in a world now that, you know, has such a strong, you might say, emphasis on, you know, social media, internet, you know, following various interesting hobbies in there, you know, influencers in there. Oh, and it's very much about fame. It's about, like, please like and subscribe. You know, before you go to bed tonight, you'll probably hear the phrase, please like and subscribe, if you watch, you know, one of these videos. Most people will hear it today. Now the people who tend to collect the most fame tend to be the sorts of people who, you know, they're great with people. They love to talk. They love to socialize. They enjoy it. It gives them a lot of energy. They feel very, life gets more kind of vivid and enjoyable from all that. And they love, you know, making those connections. They're more extroverted kind of people. So we very much live in a time where, like, if you're the sort of person who's extroverted, you know, there's a chance to become famous and, you know, on social media, and really, really take that, you know, try to take that as far as it'll go. But not everybody's an extrovert. A lot of people are introverted, and they like socializing a little bit, but they get kind of tired of it after a while, you know, maybe 1 or 2 hours, 3 hours in one day, that's enough. And they don't just have endless energy to just be always socializing, and it's kind of wearisome actually to them. So it's not such a great time these days to be introverted, because, you know, who's going to like and subscribe if you don't put a bunch of energy into your into your YouTube channel or whatever. You know, you might get like 100 followers or whatever, but you know, some extroverted person, they're going to get 10,000 followers or 50,000, 100,000. They're going to run past you because of all those extra efforts they enjoy doing it. So yeah, anyway, so here's something, you know, for the introverts to like in Buddhism. You know, insignificant bhikkhus is the loss of fame. The worst thing to lose is wisdom. Okay, so if we work on meditation, we have wisdom, then we don't need to worry that we don't have fame. Wisdom is better. Okay, so if we go back to our rooms, we like being alone, we like being quiet. Maybe we even like to meditate. If we can build up that wisdom, that's good. We don't have to feel bad that we are not extroverts. Okay? All right, so I'll just conclude there. Any questions? Okay, then I'll just conclude. Let us now invite our departed relatives, friends, and all beings to rejoice in the merit we have made. Let us recite together. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang no nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang wo nyatinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Etavata ca amhehi sambhatang punya sampadang sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhiya. Let us make an aspiration for nibbana. Please repeat after me. Idang me punyang asavakaya vahang hotu. Idang me punyang nibbanassa pacayo hotu.